It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. There's a lot to get to. Just to let everybody know, it's going to be very quick this week in Dork, a very quick Davey's Video Game Minute. Even the pick of the pod's going to be quick because we have a lot to get to. But before we do all of that, Ryan, we had our very first live show just over a week ago. How do you think that went?
I think it went very well. I think we had some sound issues live that we can, but it's an easy fix.
Yes. Yeah, I think
an easy fix for next time.
So first of all, thank you so much to all the people who came out. Thanks to Idle Hands for having us. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to Mac and Goo, the Boxers, Uncle Buck, all those guys for being there. And I guess, yeah, some of the feedback we got for those that were in attendance, if you weren't like right in the front row, it was hard to hear. But we'll tweak that. We'll work on that. And hopefully you were able to listen to the episode nonetheless. I thought it was good. That was a good first time. And a lot of people have asked, are we going to do another one? I say yes. I think we'll definitely
Short
do another one.
Yes.
Maybe at Idle Hands, maybe it's somewhere else, but I think we'll definitely do another one. We got to figure out what kind of topic would make sense, what venue, all of that. And also what was cool to see was we had a good turnout, and not only that, there was a lot of people on Twitter that reached out and email that said, hey, I wish I could have gone, but I couldn't. So that's a good sign. So I think we will definitely...
Yeah, and my favorite of which is someone reached out to us and said that he couldn't make it because he had to go to a birthday party, but he gave the birthday party 1.5 stones.
That's correct, yes.
I thought that was really funny.
The birthday party was not great.
Yeah, again, I would like to say two thanks to everyone. Not being in the Boston sphere of influence, I was under the impression that there was going to be like a dozen people or so show up and we were going to talk to them.
Now, you say this a lot, Ryan, but you do understand how podcasts work and people in Connecticut can listen to the same podcast.
Well, I understand, but you understand that the company that we are attached to is a Boston-based company. So not everybody hears you plug it on the radio, my dear boy.
Let's be honest. We kind of push this ourselves. I don't think the station here has a whole lot of influence, if we're being honest. But I'm just saying, I don't think they're exactly a huge backing of it.
I will tell you this much about that much. If there was anybody from EEI at Idle Hands, they would have been like, oh, we should probably be pushing this.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. Right. And I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
I got you. Loud and clear. But again, thank you so much for coming out. It was a ton of fun, and we'll have to do it again. Again, we'll have to think of what topic, because nothing, it made all the sense in the world of the Avengers Infinity War preview show. Like, that is a mega pod, so that made a lot of sense to do it live. But now I'm excited for this. I'm as excited for this episode as any episode in the history of Hashtag Dork, which I know this is the 63rd on EEI, but we did, I think, 90 of them prior to.
Wow.
So
we are flying.
We're past 150 episodes. This may be the most highly anticipated one for me. But before we get to that, we do have a couple of things we got to get to in the news.
This week in Dork.
I'll tell you what, Rye, we are 2 episodes into season 2 of Westworld, and pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm an episode behind because I was seeing, you know, Infinity War, so I didn't get to watch it. This week's past episode, but I will catch up probably tonight. The first episode was a little frustrating.
So,
you know, you kind of want them to get going a little bit.
Yes, I'll say that. I should take it back. When I say pretty good, I think the episode 2, I think you'll really like. Because episode 1, I was like right on the fence, and my wife is like already ready to bail on. She's like, this show's not very good. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really have a strong argument to keep you watching the show. But we watched the second episode. I liked it a lot more. So I think it also helps that there's not a ton of great stuff on right now, so it kind of has a leg up in that regard, but I am still watching it, at least for now. I know one of your favorite shows, American Gods, they announced that season 2 will not be out until 2019.
And without Gillian Anderson, as I'm told, X-Files is gone, which is fine.
They're switching that up a bit.
So that character doesn't exist in the book.
Okay.
But the idea is that she changes forms. So, I mean, that's an easy fix.
Oh, so easy. Yeah. Easy peasy.
That's an easy fix. Yeah.
Did you see the new Ant-Man and the Wasp poster?
I did. They're starting to get like these kind of like retro kind of things going on with the many characters on one poster.
I didn't mind it. It's got like everybody that's in there. I didn't even realize that Walton Goggins is in this.
Yeah, I saw him in the most recent trailer. You see him for like a split second.
Right. And I think actually we're recording this on a Tuesday. I believe, is it tomorrow is the, or is it today even, they're releasing another trailer?
Today. Came out today.
Oh, all right. Well, you're probably watching it right now as we speak. As soon as we get out, I will watch that and tweet that out at Dork Podcast. But yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and we'll get into those characters coming up in this as well. But I'm excited that movie comes out on July 6th. Let's not mess around here, Ryan. Let's just that's all the news we got. Let's get.
Oh yeah.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do you have? I think I have a pretty good idea where you're going with this.
I got a pretty good idea. Now, when I say go, I want the people at home to time this. I'm going to actually try to keep this under a minute.
All right,
this
time. I got you on the clock.
Ready?
Yep.
Go.
Okay.
So PUBG just released a couple days ago that they're going to have now map selection. So you're going to be able to pick what map you drop into, which is kind of cool. It's something new that Battle Royales don't really do. Usually it's one map or whatever. So you get to actually pick your map. There's a new game on PC that's starting to make a little bit of noise on Twitch. It's like SimCity, but you're trying to keep people alive. It's called Frostpunk, so it's got like this, like, whatever. Overwatch qualifiers are out starting last night. Richard, how'd you do?
I have two more to get. I was five and three.
Going.
I was okay. Yeah, okay. I got two more to get. Mac did really well. He's already done. Wilfredo Cordero, he did pretty well. So, yeah, we're good.
And Fortnite 4, Season 4, starts today. There's a bunch of new shit. I don't really care. I care less about this game by the day. So, we're done. Boom.
Wow, that was under a minute. But you left out tomorrow, Ryan, Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer.
Oh, yes, I did. All right, so Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer comes out tomorrow. It was on my list. I just skipped it. So, boom, done.
Fair. That was exactly a minute. Even with the jumping back in on Red Dead, that was exactly 1 minute. Well done,
nice.
Ryan.
Woo!
Are you now ready, sir, for the topic du jour?
I'm not ready, but what is that?
Oh, well, it's the topic of the day. And today, it is Avengers Infinity War, the film that is breaking all kinds of records, $250 million domestically. That is an opening weekend record, $630 million worldwide. That is also an opening weekend record. It is 2 hours and 29 minutes. It's rated PG-13. And on the Rotten Tomatoes, the critics currently 84%, the audience 93%. Look at that. Does that make sense?
Yep, and I know what did it. But we'll get to that in a
moment.
Ooh,
okay. And as we do with all of our movie and TV episodes, we will start out spoiler-free, even though, like I just said with the numbers, I think everybody has seen this movie. But if not, we are very non-spoilers. It's very important to me. We'll tell a story about that in a moment. But as we do with all these non-spoilers to begin, you'll hear the alarm when it's time to switch over to spoilers. But Ryan, let me ask you first, did you like it?
Very much so.
Let me ask you a follow-up. Did you love it?
I could see myself falling in love with it, but I love it, but I'm not in love with it.
Wow. I think that's pretty well said. I think I did love it, although I don't know if I'm falling back into recency bias, but I think if somebody just asked me straight up, do I love it, I would say yes right now.
Yes. I love it. I'm not in love with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. Now, give me some quick hitters here, Ryan. It doesn't have to be one word, but just quickly, what did you think of the action?
Great action.
Comedy?
Surprisingly good.
Very strong. I thought the comedy was very strong, and a lot of different characters were highlighted.
Yep.
You know, and then before we get to the story, I would just say also with the action and the comedy, every character that you like you saw the poster, you knew what characters were in this. Every character that you like, at the very least, showed off a really cool use of their power and or had a great couple of lines. Like, they were all well, like, the dialogue, I think, for all the characters was true to what we knew of them through the first 18 movies. And then also some of the, like, battle scenes or fight scenes or whatever, you got to see, like, what these characters could really do.
Yes.
And then
not giving it either way, but there's some cool, like, double teams. Like, whether they
nice.
Where they two heroes work together. Like,
yes.
There were some cool back, you know what I mean? Like, working in conjunction together, there were some cool ones.
Well, it's funny, when you go back and think of, like, the best fight scenes in the MCU, like, there's some that jump to mind, and I think now that we've seen this movie, we're all going to have to update our lists because there's going to be a lot of them that took part in this movie. What about the story? Because, again, it pulled from Infinity Gauntlet. It pulled from the more recent graphic novel series, Infinity. And then it obviously kind of did some of its own thing. But what did you think of the overall story?
I thought the overall story was it was good, and there's some holes. I mean, with any of these movies, there's so, and I'll get into a little bit more later. But I think the story missed like a couple times, like little things. Like, it's not anything big that happened that I was really pissed off about, but just like a little, like little things kind of annoyed me.
I just think when you get into characters that are so powerful, you leave yourself open to some questions. And some loopholes and things like that. Yeah. Whereas, like, this ain't Iron Man 1. You know, this ain't that. Like, this is a galaxy thing going on, and they're so powerful that you maybe have some questions that we'll get to.
But and there's some suspension of disbelief. Like, you have to be like, okay, that's whatever, that's fine.
Yeah,
you
know that's what I mean? Fine. Right, and that's fine. But just you want to be consistent. Like, we've said that with all these movies. Like, I understand. Like, oh, gamma rays turned him into the Hulk. Got it. I have no problem. But then there are certain things that you're like, all right, well, if that character can do this, shouldn't he be able to do that or whatever?
Right.
So that may have been one of the small issues, I think. I thought, and this was the Russo brothers again, who did Winter Soldier, who did Civil War. They have so many characters on the screen. I think they did as good a job as possible with the number of characters all being able to showcase what they can do. So I thought you really couldn't have asked for a better use of the characters.
Right. I think you're right there. You're right on with that.
How do you think, again, we'll get into more of this in depth, but one of our criticisms always, in fact, the very first episode of Hashtag Dork was about villains in Marvel, like Marvel villains in general, both in the comic books and in the movies. How do you think Thanos, I think a lot of hype for Thanos, how do you think he was pulled off?
I think he was pulled off as, again, like you said, as good as can be expected. I mean, I think what they did really well with him was it wasn't just, you know, the Lex Luthor, like, I just want to take over the world because I want to take over the world. Like, there was a reason, there was a motive, and he ran the gamut of, and like, everyone did in this movie, but, like, emotionally, like, everyone runs the gamut.
Oh, my God,
like,
yeah.
They're either being funny, or they're being angry, or they're being sad, and, like, everybody's playing, and even Thanos. You expect him to be, like, this big bad, like this, but there's a lot of layers with him that I didn't expect that I was very actually happily surprised with.
And not to take this as an opportunity to crap on the DC movies, because, again, that's not what we want to do here, but the reality is this is another example of how you can have a lot of comedy, a lot of action, but then also some really kind of heavy scenes as well. Like, it doesn't need to be, it's not a slapstick comedy, but it's also not the darkest shit in the world. Like, you can have the mix. Like, that's why comic books are so great. It's because they have that mix, and I think this movie pulled that off.
This isn't a spoiler.
Yeah.
This isn't a spoiler.
All right.
Like,
it better
isn't
not
it
be.
A great, isn't it, there's a scene with little Gamora and Thanos, and he gives her that knife. And he's talking to her about how it's perfectly balanced. And, like, that's how all things should be.
Yeah.
And, like, what a great metaphor for, like, these movies. Like, it's perfectly, there's comedy, there's drama, there's action. And this one is just, it tries to be perfectly balanced with, like, all three of those things.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the DC movies, they take themselves so seriously. And, like, you're running around in capes. Like,
well,
you gotta chill out.
What happened there was, I mean, it was just like the Nolan Batman series was the best and the worst thing to happen to the DC characters. Because it was like, oh, this is the only way to do it. You're like, well, no, it isn't.
But I think, again, not to get into that, but like that's the only way you can do Batman.
Correct. Right. And then, you have Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Right.
You're going to have to, and they try to force some comedy. But anyway, that's not what we're here for. We're here to celebrate Avengers Infinity War. This is a tough question, and I fully admit with everything I'm going to say this entire episode, I've only seen it once. I would like to see it again in the theater, and then this will certainly be a movie I watch a ton once it is released. Difficult question, obviously, but we sort of went over this when we did our preview show. Where does this movie rank for you amongst the 19 MCU movies?
It's at the very least in the top five. I got to see it again. I have to see it again.
I have to see it again as well.
But it has to be, it might be in the top three.
My knee-jerk reaction was it was two. I could make
behind Guardians?
Yeah. I could make an argument that it's better than that. And then, like you said, I could maybe make an argument that it's a little bit below that. But because I had Civil War 2.
Yeah.
Not Civil War 2, the comic. Civil War 2nd on the thing. But this is probably better than that. But anyway, we'll get into that. Now,
yeah, it's better than either. I think it's better than either of the other Avengers movies.
Oh, I mean, it shits on Ultron. And then, the first Avengers, I think it's better just because of the addition of all the characters that we love. I think that's the key to the whole thing.
The other one I would throw into the mix is Winter Soldier. Yeah. I would put it like on par with that.
Yeah, Winter Soldier. Yeah, another one. Again, hard to compare when you just have like so many characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's automatic. It should be in everybody's top five. I mean, again, you can like whatever movie you want to like. That's the beauty of the world. But I think it's that good. Now, most of you have already seen this, but again, staying in non-spoilers, there's no mid-credit scene, but stay to the very, very end, there is an end-credit scene.
Yep.
And the last thing, Ryan, before we do get to spoilers, your hashtag dork score, albeit on the first viewing, that's how we do most of these on the podcast, so one viewing in, what would you give it?
5.5.
I'm going to rock hard 6.
Rock hard 6.
I'm going to rock hard 6. Yes, yeah. I am that much of a fan. Anything else you want to hit on before we start spoiling?
No, I need to start spoiling. I'm going to blow up. My chest is going to blow up.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't seen this, pause it right now. Run out to the theater. Then pick it back up right here.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
First things first, a little personal item here. Did you didn't see it until Monday. I didn't see it until Sunday afternoon. A lot of our friends saw it on Thursday night. Were you able to avoid spoilers?
Yeah, and like I told you via text, and I'll tell the listeners, I actually shut down every bit of social media I had. Like, I shut it down. I logged out of everything. Because
yeah, smart.
I just couldn't. I wanted to go into this fresh. And just as a personal note as well, why I said, like, I don't know how I am. Now that we're into spoilers, I can tell you, there is a lot to go over. And, like, I had a lot of feelings walking out of this
movie. A lot of feelings. There's definitely a lot of feelings. Now, let me just say, before we get into the movie, and we'll go through it, and we can start and stop and jump around, do whatever we want to do, because there's a lot to unpack. I am still pissed off at Uncle Buck.
Oh, my. Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw. That was the impetus of me being like, I'm out, I'm done.
No, but the problem is, he tweets out on Thursday night, like at 9:30 or whatever. So like during either the Celtics or the Bruins or whoever the hell was on, you're watching. And it's funny is I saw that you responded to him like, all right, time for me to get off Twitter. And I scrolled up and I only read the first line. Yeah. And I think he'll probably claim it's not a spoiler, but bullshit. It was absolutely a spoiler. So Uncle Buck, that son of a bitch, tweets out something about, hey, after 27 years, I finally saw Thanos use like his gauntlet. So I'm like, you fucking asshole. Like, so now I know he gets all the stones in this movie. Like, that's what that means to me, and that's obviously what the fuck happened. And I was so good. I was barely even on the dork account. I would just, like, skim. I would make sure it was somebody only talking about, like, the NFL draft or Celtics. And, like, I avoided everything. I was, like, I shut it down in the office here. Like, if anybody... I went out of my way to avoid shit. Yeah. And I saw that tweet, and it bugged me. And the fact that I even was thinking about it during the movie... fucking pisses me off. But that's
okay. So sorry. Yeah, that you don't do that. You don't do that.
Don't
he
do that.
Know better.
Don't do
he
that.
Know better.
And I feel I'm not saying it's my fault because it's definitely his fault. But I specifically, and people are getting pissed because this is not what they're tuning in for. But I specifically texted Wes, Mac, and Goo, who are all seeing it on Thursday, and I go, I hope you guys have a great time. I go, I literally don't even want to know if you got fucking popcorn. Like, don't tell me. I don't even want to hear, oh, loved it. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, because I read into that, and then it's in my head. So I don't want to know anything. I hate spoilers for a shitty movie, let alone a movie that I've never been more excited to see.
Yeah, and just to let, we were on the same page because I had students who went and saw the movie Thursday, Friday, and I was like, I'm on duty this weekend. I can't see the movie. I have to see it on Monday. And they're like, whoa, how are we going to? I'm like, you can tell me you saw it. That's it.
That's it. That's it.
That's it. You can tell me you went to the movies, and that's it. If you tell me, don't even tell me you liked it.
Yeah.
Don't even tell me you didn't. It was okay. Like, don't say a word to me.
And it's not. And
they were like, argh, and the kids were like killing themselves because I'm like the only person they could talk to about it. And I'm like, you can't talk to me about it until Monday.
And I would also like to really thank the listener because the listeners were all much better than Uncle Buck, because not only did Uncle Buck tweet that, he tagged us in it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, hey, he's tweeting it and whatever. It's his Twitter account. I'm not going to tell him what to tweet. But then he tags us in it. Whereas all these listeners who, and we have a bunch of questions, they emailed in, they tweeted us, but they never once on Thursday were like, oh my God, can you believe they all died? Like, they didn't do any of that. Like, thank you guys. Like, you know how much we hate spoilers. And nobody, to their credit, spoiled it for us. So thank you very much for that. Let's just attack
this
movie.
One more thing. We have to weigh in on this. So Wesley last night, this makes sense to Wesley last night says, oh, Davey, I just finished God of War. great twist ending.
Mm,
is saying that there's a twist ending a spoiler?
Yes.
If you don't say what the twist is.
Yes.
Whose side are you on that one? Because I said it was.
No, that's a spoiler. I get so in my head, you could say, he could even say it's a great ending, and I would probably think that's a spoiler. If you say it's a twist ending, it's definitely a spoiler.
And what I said in the text thing, too, was like, saying there's a twist only works if you don't know it's coming.
Right.
If I'm expecting a twist, oh yeah, okay.
Like if you were gonna watch Sixth Sense, I don't have to tell you what it is, but I'm like twist ending the whole time. You're just gonna be staring at it, being like, what is it?
Yeah. Anything that makes you watch the movie differently is a spoiler.
Yeah. And so I'm still fucking pissed about it.
Oh, you're speaking of hot chili,
dude. I was hot about it, and what's funny is I was thinking about it, and I purposely didn't go back to read the entire tweet, and then I responded to the tweet after I saw the movie because it was still in my head. But anyway, it shouldn't bother me that much, but it does.
RFK3 knows how to hold a grudge.
By the way,
viewers at home,
I certainly do, because if you can't hold a grudge, you never should have gotten mad in the first place.
That's going on your tombstone.
It is. It's true. I swear to God, I hold on to these things forever, and I will never forget it. So that's just how that's how it goes.
He may forgive you, but he'll never forget.
I may not do the first part either. Let's. So the movie begins, Ryan. The movie begins right off Thor Ragnarok, and it's funny because we were talking about like what movies you have to see before this movie, and obviously Ragnarok. It wouldn't make any sense. You'd be like, what are they doing out here? You wouldn't know what's going on. So it's fresh off of that. And it makes sense because it was one of the mid-credit scenes, right, where they show Thanos' ship about to take on the Asgardians. Yep. And Thanos attacks the Asgardian ship. He already has the Power Stone, which this is a little bit of a surprise to us. So he went to Xandar and just must have destroyed the Nova Corps and took the stone. We never saw that on film.
No, and not only that, but like, Jesus Christ, he didn't have any stones yet. How did he roll the entire Nova Corps with no stones?
He is a badass. Plus, he's got his crew.
That's one of the gripes I had with it. Like, how did he get past the entire Nova Corps with four guys?
Well, he's got, like, yeah, but they're not just your average guys. Like, John C. Reilly and Glenn Close aren't going to be able to stop Proxima Midnight and Thanos. That's my guess. But, and he also has armies. Like he probably just demolished Xandar, is my guess. So he grabbed that. I'm surprised though, we didn't even get a sniff of that. One thing I do love about this movie is they start full speed. They're not fucking around. They're not like, hey, here are where the characters are. Here's what's going on here. And in fact, the only criticisms I have read so far on the internets is these people who don't love the Marvel movies, and they're like, you don't know what's going on. Like, if you haven't watched the other movies, you're kind of lost. I'm like,
well, yeah, no shit.
Fucking watch the other movie. I'm like, you wouldn't watch or you wouldn't read the last Harry Potter book first. So, tough shit. Like, there's enough people that have watched all these movies. And guess what? It's a different day and age where all 18 of those movies were available. Like, you could find a way to watch all of those movies right before you went to this.
Yeah,
and so that's such a shitty criticism of the movie. Is like,
but how do you call yourself a film critic if you don't see what everyone's seeing?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I don't get that. Like, I don't get how you can be like, well, you know, for the casual fan. There are no casual fans here.
No, people are in on this. I would say we should have mentioned this in non-spoiler, but if you are going to take somebody, because if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely watch all these movies, but if you were going to bring a friend of yours or a significant other or whatever that's not as well-versed, and they're like, well, would I be able to follow what's going on? Probably not. Probably not. And it'd be like, you can come with me if you just don't ask questions. Although that also bothers me. I can't sit there with somebody that doesn't know. I'd be like, I got to explain this, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
So that's tough. But also, very early on in the movie, you get the Hulk versus Thanos fight, which is perfect to establish just how badass Thanos is.
Yes. And I was a little disappointed that Hulk didn't put up more of a fight, because in the comics, as you know, the Hulk is the one person that Thanos kind of avoids fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty even match, but like he just basically like doesn't tangle with him if he doesn't have to. But I was surprised to see the Hulk go down that quickly.
He did. He didn't mess around. Now, the other part of this is, so they're on that Asgardian ship, and I think Thor references something like, you know, half of it gets wiped out. So we do not see Korg, Meek, or Valkyrie in the entire movie. Should we, like, assume that they escaped somehow, or they're okay? Like, if they don't show those characters dying, I feel like they have to be around still.
I hope so.
That's
Corgan Meek are gone?
That's
Meek just almost, he just came back to life. It'd be sad to see him go again.
What are those, eggs? Where do you get their eggs? Those guys are great, and I just think I expected them to be in the movie, didn't you?
I did. I just, even if you're, like, I was actually looking in the opening scene of the movie, we see, like, all the dead bodies. I was expecting to see one of them on the ground, and you might.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we'll watch
it
again.
They might have, like, tucked him in there somewhere.
I think Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson, I think filmed something for it, and it must have gotten cut out. And then, obviously, Korg and Meek are CGI, so maybe they just never got to them. But hopefully they're still alive. Heimdall, though, played by Idris Elba, he is killed. And before he is killed, he is able to send Hulk to Earth. Also, Loki gives the Tesseract to Thanos, and he is killed. So right out of the shoot.
And like a hard one, too. Like a hard kill. Like that was pretty gruesome.
So Heimdall, Loki are both dead right out of the gates. Thanos and Hulk fight, and Thanos now has two stones within 10 minutes of the movie.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. Let's see. Hulk crashes into the Sanctum Sanctorum. He goes and warns Doctor Strange. Now, in the Infinity Gauntlet, the comic book, which I would recommend people reading. Again, they move around, they change characters. In fact, Silver Surfer is the one who warns Doctor Strange. In this case, it's Hulk. Would you say it's fair to say that after Hulk lost to Thanos, the Hulk was then like scared to come out, and that's why Banner
scared
couldn't get him?
Scared and embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and embarrassed. Yeah. Yeah. So then Doctor Strange and Wong, they're told about him. Strange goes and gets Iron Man. There's a scene just in the park with Pepper Potts and Iron Man. I found this distracting. Did you see Pepper Potts' ear?
Yeah, she had that little stud earring in her ear.
So she has like the stud in like the cartilage piece.
Yeah,
like that like kind of
little nub.
That little nub that everybody has. So she pierces that, whatever. Like I've seen that. That's okay. Like people do whatever you like. And then she has three holes in her ears, which again is fine, but she only had an earring in the highest one, and it was like a really weird kind of earring. It just like hugged the outside of her earlobe, and I'm like, I was so distracted by it. It kind of took me out of the movie for a second.
Well, it's no T'Chaka glass eye, but she, you know, she's out there, she's being an athlete, she's jogging around, so you don't want, you know, anything hanging.
Right.
You know, so
no,
maybe that's it. She's just being an athlete.
That's true. So Doctor Strange goes against Iron Man. Doctor Strange in this movie, by the way, knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, he does, and that was the one thing that was frustrating. The interactions between Tony Stark and Stephen Strange were very frustrating for me to watch. And I think it's because they both think they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And trying to have Strange convince Tony Stark that he's right was like, it was frustrating. Not frustrating in that, like, it was bad. Frustrating in, like, I wanted to, like, be like, dude, just let him do his thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're expecting a little bit more, maybe, out of those guys, too. Like, that was one kind of thing, a little bit. You get, this was in the trailer, but you get Peter Parker on the bus, and you actually get some spider sense tingling. And then
and then
Ned does a great job distracting everybody, and he's able to.
We're all gonna die.
You know,
yeah,
flies out of the bus. So that was good. And then Doctor Strange gets captured. Obviously, he has the Mind Stone, and so you get Iron Man. Then you get the new suit. You get the spider. You get the Iron Spider, and they both go after him. And you get the great interchange where, in remember, in Civil War, Peter Parker is talking about Star Wars, and then in this movie he's talking about aliens. Like, you know that super old movie Aliens? And then it fucking thing works. So that was great.
And I love how Tony Stark was like, I don't want to hear any more pop culture references out of you. Like, please stop.
And then they both had several more throughout the rest of the movie. Like,
and it was awesome when he was talking to you. He's like, is Footloose still like the best movie ever? And he's like, no, it never was.
Never was.
It never was the best movie.
Kevin Bacon, I don't know if he's in there. When somebody asked if he was in the Avengers, like, I don't know. Maybe he is. So Bruce Banner then calls Captain America on the flip phone that Iron Man got in Civil War.
Yeah.
So, because at first I was like, flip phone. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. How about going out to Scotland, Ryan, where you get Scarlet Witch and Vision? That's just a weird thing. So he's just like hanging out as Paul Bettany, I guess.
Yeah. He just didn't want to sit in the makeup chair that day or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But one of the coolest scenes in the whole thing, maybe one of the most badass scenes, is when Scarlet Witch and Vision are being attacked, and then Captain America shows up with Black Widow and Falcon. I love that scene.
That was awesome.
That was really cool.
I was sitting in a full theater, even on a Monday. Like, it was a full theater, and like everyone applauded. Like, they saw it was him and just started clapping, and like I wasn't mad at it.
Oh, no. Like, when they panned over to him, like,
yeah.
And I wasn't sure because they do a great job. The trailer, this movie more than any other movie I can remember, where they like swerved you on purpose.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of things from the trailer. Some of it wasn't even in the movie. Others were like the way they cut it. It was in different parts because I thought like the Captain America, him showing up was going to be in Wakanda. And then that's when Black Panther's like, get this guy a shield. But it was actually him in Scotland. And I was like, oh boy. I was like, it definitely moved. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh boy.
So then they go back to the new Avengers headquarters. War Machine is there. He's like FaceTiming with Thunderbolt Ross, who's still like a dickhead. It's like, dude, the world's gonna be over, and you're worried about these guys who are obviously
heroes.
Arrest
this guy, because that's gonna matter in 20 minutes.
Yeah. So now their plan, once they realized and they were told, like, all right, Thanos is trying to assemble all of the Infinity Stones, and that's one thing that they kind of explained again to the viewer. Like, mostly, like, all like where the characters are and what they're doing, they didn't really need to explain that. But one thing that they did was, oh, like, you know, billions of years ago, like, these stones, like, all over the galaxy and whatever.
Yeah. And I'm going, like, yeah.
Let's go. Now, their idea to destroy the Mind Stone, do you think that's a good plan?
No, it was a terrible plan. It was an absolutely terrible plan. And, well, first of all, I want to bring up, too, and every time someone says, they talk about Thanos' plan, and this happens, and this is one of the things that knocked it down to like a 5.5 for me, and it was like a little thing. Every time they mention Thanos' plan, they go, and he just has to snap his fingers like that.
Yeah.
And then what is he? It's a little on the nose, because then he actually does that.
Well, right. Like he snaps his fingers. Because that's what he wants to do.
But they said it like 4 times.
Yeah, they wanted to drive it home, I think.
Like he's just going to snap. Like, we get it. He's going to snap his fingers. Like, we get it. You know what I mean? But like, it's a little too much on the nose for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, the Guardians respond to a distress call, so you get all the Guardians together. Mantis is a part of their crew now. And you got to figure, this is 2 years or 3 years after the events of Guardians 2. Mm-hmm. And you can see, you know, Groot is now teenage Groot, who's a dick for a while, but then he kind of redeems himself.
Yep.
But really good stuff with Thor and how they all love Thor except for Star-Lord, and then they're calling Star-Lord fat, and they all, like, everybody loves Thor, and then Star-Lord starts doing the Thor voice. That was hysterical.
That was a really funny exchange.
So I read somewhere that James Gunn, who wrote and directed the Guardians, he did the dialogue for the Guardians characters.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be all there, you know. And no one knows that dialogue. No one does that style better than. I wouldn't be surprised if the Russo brothers like handed him the camera and be like, direct this scene.
Yeah. And what was
or,
cool,
like, he was on set when they were doing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And then what was also really cool in this scene is so Thor. It's funny, like, so Thor knows the Collector, and so do the Guardians, but they had just met each other for the first time, and there's, like, a line in there about, like, who the hell would ever trust the Collector with an Infinity Stone? And Thor's like, well, it's the last place they would look. You're like, don't give him shit. Like, what are you doing?
So that's one of the things I liked, is, like, those, for the fans, there was, like, those little throwaway lines.
Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch.
Yeah.
So then they team, so Rocket, Groot, and Thor, they leave. They have to go get a new weapon. So that's where they go to. It's like Nidavellir or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And Itri, who is Tyrion, playing
the Big Dink. We're going to call him the Big Dink
from
here on out.
The Big Dink. So he creates the Stormbreaker. And this was the one scene, like, when you're first watching it, to me, like, the whole thing about, you know, him getting, like, the fire from the star and all this shit, like, oh, this is kind of taking a while. Like, does this really need to be as a big chunk of the movie as it does? But then, obviously, the answer is yes. Like,
yes, it did.
You need to go and get that goddamn thing. So he makes Stormbreaker, which I believe was Beta Ray Bill's hammer, but whatever. That's fine. It's a nice little tip of the cap.
Technically, it's an axe,
dude. Yeah. I love what Groot did there, and now, like, the handle is made from Groot. That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah,
I like that. So now you get Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, and Mantis. They end up going to nowhere, where Thanos then takes Gamora. So this is another one of my kind of overall issues, I guess, with Thanos. It's like, he's so powerful. Like, you saw how he basically turned Mantis into, like, spaghetti and Drax into, like, cubes.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't he just do that every single time he comes across anybody?
Well, that was, that's one of the things that was frustrating for me. And the other thing, too, just to go back to a point you made, like, a minute ago, like, did you think that was a stupid plan to, like, break the Infinity Stone? And I'm like, yeah, it was, because as I was sitting there with my wife,
yes,
I was like, as she asked me about it, like, well, you know, they should have just broken the thing earlier. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, he has the time stone. It doesn't matter. He has time and reality. Like, he can go back or he can change it. Like, none of that matters. Like,
yeah.
Anything from that point on doesn't matter.
I do think, and so now you're getting some more Gamora. Like, Gamora is such an important part of this whole story. Like, obviously, yep. Like, with Thanos. And you get one of the great scenes coming up when they go to Vormir. And this I loved. So we all assumed that the Soul Stone was in Wakanda.
Yeah, we were dead wrong.
We were all dead wrong, but as the movie was going on, I was thinking, if it's in Wakanda, that would be so dumb. So if you're telling me there are six stones spread across the entire galaxy, and three of them are on Earth, wouldn't that be a little convenient?
It would, too. And you said, like, and Thanos said, like, there's two of them are left on Earth, and he doesn't say three.
Right.
So he knows.
He knows, and it's great.
And so, it wouldn't surprise him if there was a third one there.
Well, know? And it's funny, too, and I forget exactly which character said this, but one of them made the point that they're like, well, and then there's the Soul Stone, and nobody knows where that is. And, like, Gamora, like, her eyes, like, pop up. So you're like, right away, you knew, like, Gamora knows. Like, Gamora knows where this goddamn thing is. And maybe the best twist or thing that I really didn't see coming, because, again, if you read the comics, the ending is not, like, it doesn't blow you away like I've never seen this idea before, because, again, they kind of do this, but the thing that I loved is when they go to Vormir to get the Soul Stone, and the fucking Red Skull is there.
Yeah, and you're just like, I was like, me and the two guys behind us, it was, like, dead silent, because everyone was, like, gasping, and three people, it was like a Jinx moment where we went, like, holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The theater, I saw it by myself, but it was obviously a packed theater. Yeah. And the people around me, like, whispered. Like, you heard so many people go, like, he was in Captain America.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
oh, my God. Like, yes, we're all on the same page here. We've all seen the movies, people. Pull it together. Yeah, like, he was in. This is a big payoff. Now, it's not Hugo Weaving. It's actually a dude who's in The Walking Dead right now, Ross Marquand or something like that. So,
what the hell is Hugo Weaving doing right now?
I don't know. Not being in the greatest movie of all time, or at least the highest grossing movie of all time. But anyway, Red Skull is sweet, because also, if you go back to the end of Captain America 1, Red Skull is, like, launched into outer space.
Yep.
So this is where he's been the whole time. And then I thought it was also a good twist, because they're like, hey, Thanos, like, you must sacrifice someone that you love. And my first thought is, well, he doesn't love anybody. So this is, he's kind of screwed here.
Yeah, that's what Gamora says, like, well, you're effed now because you don't love anybody.
So then,
or anything.
I thought what he was going to do was he was going to get somebody else, or he was going to say, all right, Gamora loves Star-Lord, bring Star-Lord back, kill Star-Lord, Gamora gets the stone, and then he just takes it from her. But this is
quicker. He was going to throw himself off, and then he would be, you know.
Oh, yeah, because he loves himself.
Yeah.
He's a narcissist like Lex Luger.
Sure enough.
But that was an awesome, awesome scene, I thought.
When with Red Skull's like, he's not crying for himself.
No.
He's crying for you.
So you also get Nebula, who's been getting tortured. And by the way, go back to the comic. She gets tortured in even a more gruesome way throughout that.
Yeah.
But so she contacts Mantis and wants her to meet up on Titan. So Titan, of course, is where Thanos is from. So this is badass. You got a scene where Star-Lord, Drax, and Mantis come across Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange, and they all fight each other. That's one of the best scenes. And then them kind of figuring out, like, oh, you're not with Thanos? Like, no, you're not with Thanos? Like, that was really good.
And I thought one of the best, like, sneaky best parts about that is, like, the whole time, like, Spider-Man's getting, like, Peter Parker's getting, like, choked out by Star-Lord, and, like, the eyes keep, like, opening and, like, darting around.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was, like, one of those things. It was really subtle, but it made it better.
Yeah,
because his eyes kept, like, narrowing his eyes when someone was talking, then he'd open them. You know what I mean?
Right. And then so once they become friends, they're all kind of, like, talking. There's some good stuff. Some of it from the dialogue or some from the trailer where Star-Lord and Iron Man are trying to determine what the plan is. Doctor Strange goes into, like, a little meditation, and he figures out that there are, I forget the exact number. I'm pissed that I don't remember. It's like 14,610 possibilities. And they're like, well, how many of them, like, turn out good? He's like, one. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's.
And this was frustrating to me, too, because even then, Tony Stark is, like, second guessing everything he does. It's like, dude, like, he gets pissed at him when he just, like, hands over the time stone.
Yeah, well, he's shook. Iron Man is shook. And again, I didn't like Iron Man 3, but you see some of the fallout. And so, like, what? And then they tell him, they're like, yeah, remember Loki in New York? They're like, yeah, Thanos sent him. Like, Thanos is better than he is. And so he's like, so he is pretty shook up, obviously. But the other question would then be, based off of some of the things that Doctor Strange said, is this the plan that works?
It has to be. Right. And I think the one out of like the 14 million whatever, Tony Stark lives. Like, he has to be there. Like, I think that was the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
And without telling him so much, it'd be like, in order for the, because remember, he says at one point, like, we're in the end game now.
Right.
Meaning, and, like, I did the, you have to understand, he even says to him, like, this is the only way this could have gone.
Well, it's funny because prior to him going through his little meditation thing, he tells him, he's like, hey, if it's between you, the Spider Kid, and the stone, like, I'm protecting the stone. And then 10 minutes later or whatever it is, he's like, hey, take the stone. So he obviously saw that, and it's playing out the way that he wants it to. And so it might seem like kind of chaotic. I mean, it is, but this is apparently what has to happen.
Right. And, like, he wouldn't give that up willingly if he knew that doing so wouldn't be good.
And so what I love, this might have been my favorite scene. Now, there's another scene later on which is super badass, but maybe my favorite scene was them almost getting the gauntlet off of Thanos, because this is exactly how Mantis can be helpful. Like, this is perfect for her. So, and it makes sense, because if this guy's so powerful, like, he would just destroy all of them. But if they kind of sneak her on top of him, she can almost knock him out. Doctor Strange is doing his thing. Star-Lord's doing his thing. Spider-Man. Oh, by the way, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man using the portals and having him jump out was
that
awesome.
When I was talking about the team-ups, like, that was my favorite one.
That was fucking sweet. So they almost get the thing off him, and then Star-Lord realizes, like, Nebula is there and realizes that Gamora's dead. And so this is one of my complaints. And we'll get to some of the few things that we didn't like, is obviously, and highlight all the stuff that we love, too. But Star-Lord really seems like an idiot. Like, you could have taken the glove off of him and then beaten the shit out of him. Like, he really fucked him over. Although, he probably didn't, because this is also part of Doctor Strange's plan, I assume. But they make Star-Lord look like such an idiot in this.
And that was and it sucks, because, like, he was out of all the characters who I would have had a problem with. I didn't, but, like, the only problem, he was too, like, yuckety-yuck to start.
Yeah.
And then he flips the switch. Like, once he finds out Gamora's dead, it's like he goes kind of crazy.
Yeah.
In a way that's it's not helpful. You know what I mean?
No, it was not helpful.
And it was dumb, and it was frustrating, you know, because, like, you know, it was off. Like, they had it, you know?
And then, at this point, Thanos now has 5 of the stones, and so he needs the one. It's the last one he needs is in Vision still. So that's in Wakanda. So then you get Wakanda, and they didn't get to Wakanda until pretty late in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you thought this was going to be, like, the centerpiece of the whole movie, and it was to a point, but, like, you thought, like, more of it was going to take place in Wakanda.
Well, did you get the sense that, based off of when they filmed this movie, that they didn't know Black Panther was going to be the phenomenon that it was?
No, they could not have known.
Right, so it's like, it's going to be an important part of the movie, but we're not going to really, like, necessarily highlight it, and we're not even going to introduce Black Panther till later on.
Like, we're not going to put all our eggs in that basket. If this doesn't work, all our eggs aren't in that basket. But
because
now
you're, like,
you had people wanting more.
So, because I love this movie because it all the different places, like the planets that are just straight from the comics, but then also New York, Wakanda, like, everything. Like, it was great. Like, how it was done. So anyway, they finally get to Wakanda. You get Shuri, and she's talking with Bruce Banner. So unfortunately, I think one thing people were hoping for was, like, Shuri and Tony Stark having a conversation, but it ended up being Shuri and Bruce Banner, and she's kind of just proving that she's even smarter than those guys are.
Right.
So then we get the answer that it's actually Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster suit. That was one of the questions that we had.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the huge battle with the alien things, like the faceless kind of alien?
They were very Venom looking, weren't they?
They were. It was like Alien meets Venom.
It could be a symbiote. Could be.
It could. Well, who's to say? I think they're just from some planet. I think there's some planet that Thanos took over. But
I'm sure. But that was the little battle royale. And I'm looking at, like, the Wakandans. I'm like, there's not enough of them. Like,
yeah, no, I know. I'm like, they're gonna, like, I like M'Baku as much as the next guy in Okoye, but they're gonna be in a little bit of trouble. But then, Thor shows up and just absolutely wrecks shit. And flying down there with it, with his new axe. Like, that was awesome. And him and Groot, the line where he's like, oh, that's my friend. Like, he's a tree. He's like, and he's just like smashing guys again.
Well, I also love the line where Bucky picks up Rocket and they're kind of like doing the spin around thing.
Oh, it's great.
And he's like, how much for the gun? He's like, gun's not for sale. He's like, how much for the arm? He's like, he just kind of looks at him and goes, I'm going to get that arm.
I'm going to get that arm.
Yeah. He takes body parts of people.
That was awesome. Like, and then right before Thanos snaps his finger, Thor goes all the way through Thanos with the axe. Thanos with a great line, too. He's like, you should have gone for the head. And boom, snaps his fingers. And even though you knew this was a reality, again, comic book fans and readers knew this was a reality, I would say very impactful and very, very well done on what happened. Like, they had already established what can happen. They told you ahead of time that he wants to destroy 50% of the population in the galaxy. And so with a snap of his fingers, because, again, he has all the stones, that's all he needs to do, and boom, it happens. And when they start going one at a time, just amazing stuff.
And my wife, she was like, that kid who plays Spider-Man is amazing. Like, that scene where he was going was like hard to watch.
It was the girl next to me. Now, I didn't want to look over and stare, so I only walked by her once. I'm guessing middle school or high school.
Yeah.
During the end credits still, loud crying.
Oh, my God.
Like, legit loud crying. And I think what set her off was Spider-Man. Like, there were other scenes, obviously. Like, to me, I was like, Gamora. I'm like, Gamora's the biggest loss here, gang. I'm like, what are we getting upset about Spider-Man? But Spider-Man was so good, and you weren't sure, because one of the best filmed scenes, I think, in the whole thing, because Spider-Man's not sure if he's going to go. They saw somebody go. Then he hugs Iron Man, and he's still
like,
complete. Yeah, and he's like, I don't want to die. And then he disappears. Like, that was incredible.
And, like, Tony's looking at him, and he's, like, disappearing, and then,
he's like, no. Earlier in the movie, too, they already said, like, all right, like, kid, you're an Avenger now. And Tom Holland's just like, you could see it. Just, he doesn't even say anything, but you can see on his face, like, what that means to him. And then at the end, like, they think they've, like, they got their work cut out for him here, and then all of a sudden, they have no idea what's going on, because they're still on Titan. And he just disappears.
So, wouldn't it be great, too, because he's coming back, because there's another Homecoming sequel in the works that's being filmed right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone comes back and Spider-Man's like, I'm out. Like, I don't want this. Because I think one of the best parts about Spider-Man as a character is, like, yeah, it's fun for a while, but then as he gets older, he's like, I don't want it. I don't want this. I never asked for this.
Yeah, but my problem, it's not even a problem. I just think this is tricky, because all these characters died, and we were saying some of them have to die to really make it impactful, but all these characters that disappeared, they will be back. First of all, it's comics. Nobody really dies in comics. I mean, hell, they've even brought Thomas Wayne back in certain, storylines. I don't think he's going to die, but my concern would be if you reset everything till right before it happened, he won't even know that that happened to him.
See, I would love it if they brought him back, but they knew what happened.
I wonder that's a tough one. Like, I wonder if, like, just Dr. Strange, it kind of reminds you, like, Days of Future Past, though. It's going to be like, does Professor X know and nobody else knows? Like, how the shit, it's tricky. But even knowing all of that, so even though, like, we know that these characters are coming back, at least that's my opinion, these characters are coming back. I mean, Black Panther and Spider-Man, please, they're not going to kill those characters. But
they're too lucrative.
Yeah, right. And, like, I understand, like, Shuri or, like, Okoye could be Black Panther, but, like, they're not going to do that. Not for the sequel.
And how good was Okoye's reaction when T'Challa went?
Amazing. That's exactly my point. Is, like, even though we know they're going to be back, the characters in those locations at that time don't know that they're coming back. And so Tony Stark and Okoye and everybody else's reaction to it, like Rockets, perfect. Black Widow, like they did an unbelievable job.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is this. It really is 50% of these characters that goes. Yeah. So
what's crazy is everybody, I'm looking at the list you sent right now, because it's 10 and 10.
Yeah.
Everyone I thought was going to die is alive.
Yeah, they really swerved you, I think, on a lot of these. So just to go over the list real quick. So these are the ones that are dead from the gauntlet. Drax, Mantis, Groot, Star-Lord, Bucky Barnes, Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, Falcon, Black Panther, Spider-Man. And you're right.
Like how?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, like Black Panther, Spider-Man, Strange, you're thinking are all going to have another movie. And then it's every member of the Guardians except for Rocket.
Except for Rocket. Like what the fuck?
Like that is a crew. Like that is the crew. Like if they were all in a movie, I would probably prefer that movie to this movie. These are the characters who are alive. And I don't, it's pretty interesting too, I think, if you look at it. Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Rocket, War Machine, Okoye, M'Baku, and Nebula. They're the ones who are alive. And we don't know anything about Hawkeye. We can get into him in a second. But it's the original Avengers, with the exception of Hawkeye, are all still alive.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because this is literally just random. Like, this is not like Thanos picks and chooses. He just snaps his fingers and half the people are gone.
So, Rye brought up, my wife brought up a good point, too. She's like, what if, because we were talking about, like, you didn't see Ant-Man, you didn't see the Wasp, you didn't see Hawkeye. And she goes, what if half of Hawkeye's family goes?
Yeah, what if all of his family goes? He'll be back.
And then he comes back.
Hawkeye, I think, will be back. Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think one of them will probably be back. So, and then on top of it, Loki, Heimdall, Gamora, and Vision are all dead. The end credit scene, which we can get to in a second as well, Nick Fury, Maria Hill, they're dead. We don't know. We did not see, unless I'm wrong about this, Shuri, Wong, we don't know. And then those that weren't in the movie, Ant-Man, Wasp, Hawkeye, Valkyrie, Korg, and Meek, we don't know if they're alive.
Yeah.
But so when you're looking at this team, that those that are alive, you're like, all right, who's going to, like, at least they got some brains, right? Like, they got Iron Man, they got Hulk. I'm going to assume they have Shuri. I think they're going to need her. So they got some brains. They're going to be able to figure out, fucking War Machine's still alive.
Why? I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure. But it's a good...
And I guess maybe because that's the thing. Like, you know, you would assume they would keep one of the guys. I thought they were going to get rid of Captain America and either Falcon or Bucky Barnes were going to be the new Captain America.
Yeah.
But they killed both of them and kept Chris Evans, which is like that.
It's
that's
nuts.
That's out of this world. Good.
It's nuts. And so Thor's obviously going to be important. Oh, this is another question I had for you. Like, it's an Avengers movie, but who do you think was, like, the star of the movie? Like, who's, like you've made this comparison before. Like, if this was an All-Star game, who was the All-Star game MVP?
Oof. The MVP. So, right now, like gun to my head. Like,
yeah, gun to your head, gun to your dick. Who do you got?
Strange.
I think Strange is a good pick. I think it might have been a Thor movie.
Yeah, a little bit, but he was too, and like he said, like none of this matters. Like the stones, if we don't get something to take him out, like it doesn't matter. Like he's busy. Like, they're going to get the stones anyway.
I just think if you look at the screen time too, like I don't know what, so I'm sure somebody broke this all down, but the way the movie starts, the way the movie ends, how important it is for him to get his next weapon, the scene where he's down there just wrecking shit on Wakanda, I felt like he was the guy, but I think you're right. Doctor Strange is another one where I assumed his movie was important for this one, but not nearly as important as it ended up being.
Right. Like he knows like how this has to go.
And so all these characters are on Wakanda, I believe, with the exception of Iron Man and Nebula. They are together on Titan, which is pretty fascinating because those are two characters that I've never, ever met.
And not only that, I was thinking this is more practical, but like how does Tony Stark get home?
Now, I think Nebula... She flew there, right? So I think
like,
her craft might still be around.
And the other thing, like Thor might come get him. Like Thor,
Thor could come get him. They got to figure that out. I think him and Nebula will team up. And what's also cool is if you've read some of the old Guardians of the Galaxy comics, there's a lot with Iron Man. Like Iron Man was in the outer space for a while, and he was like teaming up with them. So that was kind of cool. The post credit scene, it's Nick Fury and Maria Hill. They see a couple of car crashes, they run out, they see what's going on, then they die or they disappear. But before that happens, Nick Fury sends out a distress signal on a beeper, and it's to Captain Marvel.
Well, as we know, that movie takes place in the 90s.
Yes, yes. And so I assume she'll be back. I'm sure she will play a huge role in the next Avengers. But my question would be, Ryan, they need to explain in Captain Marvel, which comes out in, I don't know, March, whatever the hell it is. They need to explain why they didn't call her the first few times they could have used her.
Yeah, like where you been? Like,
where were you against Loki? Where were you against Ultron? Where were you all these other times?
Like, you and Adam Warlock are basically, like, Marvel's version of Superman. Like, we kind of beat you out here.
Ryan, let me ask you this. There were approximately 14 deaths that I would say were significant deaths, if you want to call the Disappearing Act deaths.
Yep.
Are any of these deaths permanent?
Everything's on the table. Everyone's on the table to come back. But, like, wouldn't it make sense that the people who died before the incident
Loki, Loki, Heimdall, Gamora, Vision, maybe.
Vision. Like, they're dead.
They could be. Although, Vision could come back because there's a lot of scuttlebutt about he has enough shit without the Mind Stone where he could still be, like, a being.
And it depends on how much Shuri pulled out of him.
Right.
You know?
Right. So maybe he's back. Yeah, but the other ones, I would assume, are all back. It's just a matter of when.
Right.
You might find this hard to believe. No Netflix characters.
Not even mentioned.
Maybe they were all dead. Maybe they all disappeared.
Oh my God.
And so the other reason why they have
to
reset.
That's how you find out that Luke Cage has been canceled? Iron Fist has been canceled? Because he died.
He's not here anymore. Well, that's the other thing. Is like, it's tough to do any other series or any other movies without the next one because it's like you can't ignore the fact that 50% of the population is gone. Like in the TV show The Leftovers, which some would say is the greatest TV show of all time, only 2% of the population disappeared, and they were still all messed up. So you can only imagine what 50% would do.
And how about friend of the podcast, Carrie Coons?
Great job.
Doing her Proxima Midnight.
She was great as Proxima Midnight.
I thought, but what's the name? The Ebony Maw was horrifying.
Yeah, they were all pretty crazy. Did you care that they were never really introduced prior to this movie?
No. I mean, I didn't really care.
That's fine, right?
Yeah, they didn't need to be.
I didn't expect this to happen necessarily, but no X-Men, no Deadpool crossover, anything like that. That didn't happen.
I mean, that one's coming.
All right, Ryan, what were some of your favorite scenes and or lines in the movie? And if we've already mentioned them, you can just fire those out, too.
It was in the trailer, but he was like, oh, so we're doing fake names?
Yes, that's a good
Peter
one.
Parker.
Yeah.
The Footloose one, they already mentioned. I thought that was really funny. There were some like ones that are like laugh out loud funny, and that was one of them.
I laughed out loud. I think I laughed out loud. So there's like a really important, like touching scene with Star Lord and Gamora, and they're like kissing, and then Star Lord looks over, and Drax is just staring at him, and he's like,
"Oh my God,
how long have you been there?"
I laughed out loud.
He goes, "An hour." And then he was like saying how he's invisible. He's like eating the chips like so slow. I thought Drax had some of the best comedy in the entire thing.
And he's like, I'm certain that I'm invisible right now.
Yeah.
And Mantis comes. He's like, hi, Drax.
Yeah, awesome. And like Iron Man's like telling his like, Iron Man's got his game plan and Drax is yawning. Like Drax is great. That was Star-Lord, like I said, doing the Thor's deep voice was great. You mentioned Rocket wanting Bucky's arm. That was good.
And like it was unexpected because it was at unexpected times. Like there was like a little levity to it.
When Captain America sees Groot for the first time, he's like, "I am Groot." He's like, "I am Steve Rogers."
And because that's like so serious and like
that was really good.
Yeah,
some of the best team ups. We already mentioned some of them. Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, as you said, was awesome. Rocket and Bucky for a second was good. Black Widow, Okoye, and Scarlet Witch all fighting Proxima Midnight was a badass scene too.
That was a good one. Yeah.
All right. Some of the least favorite things. Again, I already gave it a 6. Davey gave it a 5.5. But some of the least favorite things to me, Star-Lord comes across as a real fuck up in this. The theme of, and this is, I know, just a personal thing of mine. I joked about how in the poster, like they never have their masks on.
Yeah.
In the movie, they kind of sneaky didn't have their masks on very much either.
Right.
How about that once, like before the big battle, Black Panther does like the whole thing without his helmet on, and then like right before he runs in, he puts it on. I'm like, so they didn't do almost any dialogue. Like Spider-Man would pop the mask off, Iron Man would pop it off, Star-Lord. I'm like, you guys can talk with the masks on. I don't know.
And my least favorite thing, so in the end credit scene, you see Nick Fury and,
Maria Hill.
Colby Smulders. Yeah, Maria Hill. Like, that's the first, like, so they had that whole thing go down in New York in the beginning of the movie with the Sanctum Sanctorum and, like, all that stuff. Like, there's a fucking huge donut-shaped spaceship that, like, comes in the middle of New York. And Nick Fury's just finding out about it, like a couple days later. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. Like,
oh, yeah, that's true.
When, like, the car, like, he's like, oh, yeah, so we got a thing over Wakanda that's 10 times bigger than the New York incident. I'm like, what?
Yeah, shouldn't you?
You already keyed in on this. Like, something just happened here. Like, what are you talking about? And it was in the same city.
What do you think?
Like, how is this the first you're hearing about it?
When do you think Daredevil will hear about it?
Oh, he's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, he would have heard about it before anyone else because he has supersonic hearing.
Oh, that's true. Here are some of my Thanos-related questions, and see if you can answer these. Why is he doing this now? Like, what? Why now compared to other times? If his whole thing, and so his motivation is different than the comics. In the comics, he wants to impress Death, who he loves. He wants Death, who's like an actual woman. He wants Death, and he wants to impress her by wiping everybody out. Here, he is saying that, hey, you know, there's too many people, there's too many like living beings in the galaxy. There's not enough, they can't sustain that many people. Well,
yeah.
Couldn't you also just like make the galaxy bigger or add more stuff, like get more food, or like you could save everybody too?
You got a reality stone. You can create more food.
Right?
You can create more room. You can make people smaller and thus take up less space.
Right, like you could save everybody if you wanted to.
And I think that was like Gamora's point. Like, there's other ways to do this. Like, you don't have to. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true. So at least she kind of pointed that out. I was just saying, like, so again, I liked Thanos a lot. I don't know. I still think Killmonger might be my favorite villain, but Thanos is right up there.
Thanos is right up there for sure.
All right,
hey, you know what? You know what Thanatos means in Greek?
What's that?
Death.
Nice.
He's the personification of death. So death courting death. How about that?
So. I like that. I like that very much. Two negatives sometimes, Ryan, do make a positive, though.
They do.
So this is my prediction, and part of this is based off of what happens in the Infinity Gauntlet thing, the comics. Nebula might take the gauntlet. So again, we see Thanos at the end. He's like, job well done by me. I'm going to go like hang out on like a farm or something. So he's kicking it, relaxing. He's probably not wearing the gauntlet all the time because his job is done in his mind. Nebula is going to find a way to get it. She's going to get it. But guess what? Nebula, also kind of a bad character. So then Nebula is going to be a bad bitch. And Thanos is then going to have to help the remaining Avengers get it back from Nebula. They're going to defeat her, and then Captain Marvel will be the one that ends up putting the gauntlet on. In the comics, it's Adam Warlock. Instead, it'll be Captain Marvel, and she will use the gauntlet to bring everybody back and undo everything.
See, it's either going to be that, like, because they said, didn't someone come out and say that, like, you're not going to see Adam Warlock till Guardians 3?
Yeah, that's why I don't think it will be Warlock.
I don't think it'll be him, but, like, it has to be Captain Marvel. Has to be.
Right, I would say so. And so her movie does come out in March, and then I think she'll be a big part of it. Any possible Avengers 4 titles? Because, of course, it was going to be Infinity War Part 2, but they scrapped that. So I don't know if they'll go something else from the comics. What's also interesting is, so it's Infinity War is the name of this, but it's really based off of Infinity Gauntlet, which is the
better
series.
I would call the next one Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll, or they might just want to bail on Infinity altogether. They could call it, like, Avengers Reassemble or Thanos Quest, Captain Marvel.
Thanos Rising.
Who's left?
Yeah,
so that'll be good. We can figure that out before it comes out. Then, so again, Ant-Man and the Wasp in July, which is going to take place in between the time of Civil War and Infinity War. The Captain Marvel in March, which we know comes out in the 90s. Anything else before we got a bunch of emails and tweets we're going to fire through.
Yeah, so one of the things I'm worried about is, like, where do you go from here? Because this is, like, a cataclysmic event, like, something that's so big and so huge. Like, I'm worried about, like, where Marvel movies go next.
Because
they keep talking about, like, Phase 3 or Phase 4 or whatever the
so
hell phase
what
was
I don't
like, whatever's wanna, next.
What I really pray they don't do is, like, too much of the X-Men thing, where they could, once the gauntlet gets back into somebody's good hands, don't reset it too far where a bunch of movies just really didn't even happen. That's what I really hope doesn't happen, because that sucks.
And it has to be, again, in order for it to work, in my mind, like, the people who disappeared or died, like, they would have to know like, what happened.
I'm with you, though. I think it's going to be really, really difficult to go anywhere from here. And, like, as soon as you open it up to Infinity Stones and Thanos, like, there's no bigger threat. Like, this isn't somebody's
other
robbing
than, like,
the bank.
Galactus. Are you going to do Galactus?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, the Living Tribunal or whatever, and, like, Ego. Or they already did Ego.
Like, you're
going to
bring in, like, the Illuminati and all that stuff?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
you're getting pretty crazy. Yeah, Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four, for sure. All right, here is an email from Chris. Why didn't Doctor Strange just go back in time like he did with Dormammu and knock out Star-Lord, giving Tony and Spidey time to get the glove off?
Because I think he saw, like you said, I think he saw it as part of the plan. Like,
I think this is
it. Go that way.
Yeah, I think this is the plan. I think this is what he wants.
The plan is for him to let, because you said Thanos' plan is done.
Right.
So he has nothing, and he even said, like, I would just hang it up. Like, I would just be done and just relax.
Right.
You know, so he's done. So
I think he's
got nothing
just kicking
to fight
it
for anymore.
Yeah, they just got to find him now. This one's from DJ. He goes, did you catch where Spider-Man came from when he first showed up to help Iron Man? Tony Stark asks, hey, where did you come from? And Peter Parker answers, the future. What do you think this means, if anything? Is the whole time jump change already in effect at the beginning of the movie, or is it more of a sarcastic throwaway line from a teenager to foreshadow what is to come?
I think I missed this. I didn't
remember that either. I didn't hear that.
But that's interesting. I don't know. I think it's just him, you know, being... Maybe he is from the...
He probably just watched a really old movie called Back to the Future or something like that. I'm not sure. But good question. I don't know if that's true. I got to watch that again, and that would be something I'd look for. This one's from Adam from Rhode Island. Do you think this movie should be considered Marvel's Empire Strikes Back? And are you planning to do any more live pods at breweries? I missed it due to a birthday party that I was obligated to go to. Oh, yeah, this is the guy. The party was just 1.5 stones. Yes, we are going to do more live pods and perhaps at Idle Hands again. So do you consider this Marvel's Empire Strikes Back?
I'm really hard-pressed to think of a way to improve at this point. So, yeah, I mean, like, you think, Return of the Jedi is awesome, but it's not as awesome as Empire.
What about this?
You know?
So the next Avengers movie, and I know our friend Wesley would say that there's going to be a sneaky movie coming out in November. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen.
I don't think so.
But this movie next May could really affect how you view this movie, too, I think.
Absolutely. And, again, what's going to the linchpin in this whole thing is that, like, Captain Marvel better be good, because Captain Marvel comes out in March.
Yeah, it better be.
It comes out in May.
It better be great.
It better be good.
What this one's from Joe. Most shocking turn to dust character: Black Panther, Spider-Man, someone else.
The Spider-Man was definitely the hardest to watch.
Like Spider-Man's was definitely the most kind of like the way they did it. I think, and I'm with you. And that scene was awesome. Like that was just really, really well done. I think the most surprising may have been Black Panther because I was just like, wait a minute, they're not going to take him out, are they?
I think, for me, Scarlet Witch was when I was like, no way. I was like, no. Because, like, you're getting rid of, like, probably the most powerful person in the universe right now.
Well, I mean...
Her and Strange.
I was going to say, they took them both out. Like, they're all pretty good. Like, they were all intense. Like, Star-Lord, just like, so you take him out. But, yeah, Spider-Man, Black...
And I was... So, honestly, it's not even the surprise... What I was surprised with, it wasn't the death. It was who was left. I was more surprised with that. I was more surprised that Captain America, Tony Stark,
and, but I'm telling you...
War Machine were like left.
Oh yeah, like, but you're right. Iron Man's obviously going to have to play a significant role in what happens. Same with Hulk, Thor, and then my theory about Nebula still remains because she's still out and about, so that could happen. This one's from Ryan. How long was Keith in the fetal position after the Soul Stone scene?
Oh boy, you
devastating. People weren't as upset as I was. I'm looking around. I'm like, this can't happen. I'm like, stop the movie. Gamora's dead.
Yeah,
Gamora's the best. The absolute best. This question is from Fergie. Yeah. What's up with Iron Man's new suit? Kind of reminiscent. I think he means... I think he probably means Spider-Man. He says kind of reminiscent of Carnage.
Yeah, I mean, it's the nano-robotics thing. Like, there is one... It's like an extremist. He, like, develops the suit that comes out of his skin.
Yeah, it's like the Iron Spider thing is pretty badass. Like,
yeah.
And so that's actually modeled more off of, like, the Civil War costume, not from the movie Civil War, but the comic book Civil War.
The Iron Spider costume did exist, and it had four. Yeah. It didn't look any. It was more red and gold, but it didn't. It looked like an Iron Man suit, but it had the four additional arms, which I thought were. Remember when he was trying to catch Mantis, and he was like rolling around, and the legs were kind of catching him. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was also a good scene when Spider-Man sees Mantis, and he's like, "Don't lay eggs in me," because he's just talking about aliens, and then he sees her coming after him. So that was pretty good. This one, the last one from David, which Infinity Stone is the best?
Well, everybody knows that the one of the best superpowers you can have is the Zach Morris timeout from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah,
Time Stone's pretty good.
Time Stone. I think it's really
and
the Eye of the Beholder.
Pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good where he's used the Reality Stone on Star-Lord, and Star-Lord finally was going to kill Gamora, and then it just turned to bubbles.
Yeah.
That was intense.
He loves his bubbles.
God, what a movie. What a goddamn cinematic adventure that was. I had a nice time.
I had a great time.
trying to think what else. What else did we miss? And again, you guys we've all seen it now. So at dorkpodcast@gmail.com. What else we got?
We missed, for a video game minute, I was trying to do it quickly, but I forgot to mention my good people at Illusion Grip, so I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you.
But go buy your most affordable, and I got a package for us, Rich. They sent me a package.
Oh, yeah.
I got grips and a t-shirt for you.
Nice.
They're amazing.
It's good? The grips
They're
are
amazing.
Good grip?
Yep. Good grips.
I don't think, I'm trying to think, is there a movie that was this hyped up that lived up to it? Because you got to think, like, not every movie gets the kind of crazy hype train. Like, this movie was, we were talking about this. Oh, this is also interesting to me. And not that I'm, like, a prophet or anything, but maybe I am. I remember in early 2000s, I definitely told Shark, our Game of Thrones expert, this. I probably told you this as well, because this is, like, during high school. Infinity War and Infinity Gauntlet and Crusade were some of my favorite comics, just because I liked all the characters being on the screen together, or on the page together. And I didn't know anything about, like, movie studios or anything like that. I didn't care. And I remember when X-Men was out and Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire was out and Daredevil with Ben Affleck was out. And I remember saying, they need to put them all in a movie together. And like, so they all have their own thing and then they should do Infinity War. I swear to God, I was saying that like 2001. I was saying that.
And me being like, this isn't going to happen. Like, that would never happen.
I was like, they need to do this. You get them all there together. You establish them, and there's Daredevil. And that was bad. Like, I was like, that movie's fine. Like, in hindsight, like, a lot of these movies are terrible. But you're like, put these guys all in a movie together. It'd be great. And then to see the MCU take 10 years to develop all these characters, like, you really couldn't have done it any better.
No.
Awesome. Just,
and by the way,
awesome.
Ryan Munns just tweeted at me or at us, and he said, one of the best lines was, there's an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man now?
Oh, that was a good line.
Yeah, that was a good line.
That was... Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. Oh, the other cool scene, too, was when Strange and Wong were taking on one of Thanos' dudes. I forget what his name was. And they, like, put him through the portal, and then he, like, cut his arm off.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass. You could see just how powerful Strange is.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, I think that'll probably put the bow on Infinity War, right?
It's a lot, and that's the thing. If there's one thing that made it a 5.5 instead of a 6, it's just too much.
It's a lot. There's a lot in there. I'm giving it a nice rock hard 6. I'm giving it the
full 2.5 hour movie that felt like 30 minutes.
It did. It hummed by. It absolutely hummed by. I feel like next week's episode may also be Infinity War.
Because we might remember something.
I feel like I'm missing something. But so we'll do that maybe at the end of next week's episode if we remember anything or if we want to add anything. But let's wrap this bad boy up.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
You want to kick, receive, defer, defend a goal?
I'll receive this week.
All right.
So I finally got a chance. It just came out this past week. But I got my hands on a copy of Batman Ninja. And it is just absolutely, forgive the pun, but absolutely batshit crazy.
Is it really? Like, I got to watch this. I got to see
it. It's like, it's so bizarre. So in the whole movie, there's like, every other scene is animated by like somebody else or like done in like a different style.
Ooh.
Like, you'll like it. There's like this awesome scene with Red Hood and Harley Quinn and the Joker. But it's done that it looks like kind of like watercolor paint.
Oh,
like
it's
really, and then there's other scenes that are like, it looks like Borderlands, like that kind of style of animation. And then there's one that's like true anime style. Like, and it's just, it's nuts. Like, the idea is that Gorilla Grodd has made this time machine and that he wanted to use the residents of Arkham Asylum as guinea pigs. So he tries all of Arkham Asylum goes to feudal Japan.
I am in on this already.
And because he was the last one through, like, Batman shows up in feudal Japan, and people have already been there for, like, years.
Oh, okay.
So it's just bonkers.
I'm in.
But everyone's there.
Even, how long is it?
It's an hour and 24 minutes.
Okay, cool.
And there's a sumo wrestler, Bane. Like, it's
nice.
It gets nuts.
I'm in. I am absolutely sold. And it's like Arkham Asylum, Batman Ninja, sold. All right, my pick of the podcast... Haven't even seen it yet, but I'm so sure it is going to be good that it is my pick of the podcast. Available on Netflix now is the new stand-up special from John Mulaney.
When did that come out? Today?
Yeah.
All right. I'm checking that out.
He might be my favorite stand-up currently in the game. I love it. We've talked about him before. He was one of the bright spots in Hilarity for Charity, along with the cartoon that I love so much.
Apple Sandcaper from 1998.
I love it. I love it. You should see some of the tweets. After I said how much I loved it, people are like, are you serious that you love it? I'm like, yeah. If you know anything about me, you would know for sure that I'm dead serious that I love that so much. But John Mulaney, I'll probably watch that tonight. Looking forward to that. All right, Ryan, that is an episode and a half.
I'm emotionally and physically drained.
I know. I feel like we could have done more, we could have done less, we could have done better, we could have done worse. Like, I don't even know how I feel about it. So let us know what you guys thought at Dork Podcast on Twitter, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about the movie. Let us know what you thought about the episode on said movie. You can rate, review. We love when you rate and review on the iTunes. Subscribe, hashtag Dork. Tell your friends. We're available just about everywhere podcasts are available. We're going to try to do some more YouTube videos, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Ryan, where can the people follow you?
People can find me at any and all social media outlets at @rvond. I'm almost done with God of War. I might, play a little bit of that on Twitch, and definitely going to do my qualifying matches on Twitch.
Nice. So, looking forward to that. I got a couple more qualifying matches to get to as well. Nervous to see what my score will be, but hey, that is life.
It's hoping for gold at this point.
That's all I'm doing. Next week, I don't know. A couple of weeks, we got Deadpool 2 just around the corner, so it's a crazy year. And then you got Solo, you got Jurassic World 2, you got Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's going to be a busy summer for us, Rod.
Busy summer.
That's right.
I should probably get that movie pass thing.
Get the goddamn movie pass. That's what we're going to have to do. All right, that's going to do it. Ryan, always a pleasure, sir.
Say hi to your mother for me.
All right.